You know what? A service is what you can make it to be. You know? Some of you know that we came from places where we didn't even have the instruments. All they had is that drum. You know that drum that Sam comes with during Kesha? And Sam, you need to be bringing that drum. Whenever we don't have this, you need to come with it. And we can start singing the way we used to sing. If somebody has a karenga-renga, you know the karenga-renga? Alan, look for a karenga-renga. You can order it from Kenya. If we don't have any instruments, we shall. If we don't have even that drum and karenga-renga, we'll use our hands. Amen? And we'll praise the Lord. Praise be to God. Okay, we want to get into the word of the Lord. And by the way, I know some of you forgot to change their clocks. That's why you came in a little bit 1 hour late. But this happens only once a year. So next week you're going to be on time, amen? Praise the Lord. We still love you. We still even love those who are still on their way coming to church. If they'll find anybody here, they'll come and praise the Lord anyway. We started looking into the spiritual warfare this a few weeks. Just excuse me. And if you're here last Sunday, we were talking about faith, how faith bridges us into the supernatural world, and that everything that we experience on our physical life, on the life that we are able to observe, emanates from the unseen world. So there's no way we can disconnect ourselves from a realm that we are not able to see physically by our own eyes. But God has given us an ability. He has given us access. He has given us means of accessing the unseen world, which is really, really crucial in our lives. Praise be to God. And so in whatever you do, we need to be alert and we need to be aware that your life as it is right now doesn't just happen. And things in your life don't just happen the way they happen. You know, there are things... you might even wake up in one morning and, you know, suddenly you feel an inspiration, God telling you to do something or God leading you into starting an endeavor. It could be going to school. It could be starting a business. All those things, you know, emanate from the unseen realm. And so it's very, very crucial, again, to know, to be aware, or rather to have knowledge how we can access the unknown realm. Praise be to God. And so I'd like to talk about the armor of the Lord. And we have talked about it just in the passing, but and how many of you know that the armor is not just this, that the armor of God consists of several things. We have the helmet of salvation. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have the shield of faith, and we talked about faith, so that helps us, you know, when we're talking about the shield of faith. So we are not going to go into detail about that so much because we already talked about faith last week. And what else do we have as a part of the armor of the Lord? Huh? Okay, Ephesians chapter number 6. You've forgotten? We have this helmet. Let's start from the top. We have the helmet of salvation. And then we have the word coming down. What do we have? The breastplate of righteousness. What else do we have? We have the belt of truth. And then we have what? Shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Is there anything that we left? Oh, we have the shield of faith. And then also we have the sword of the spirit, which is the word of the Lord. So I'd like you to be, the Bible says that we need to be aware of this. We need to be alert that any warfare that we are going to be engaged in, if we are going to defeat the enemy, if we are going to be successful and victorious, we cannot afford just to just walk in war without that armor, because we are going to be clombered. You know, how many of you know that the United States Army has the most superior forces in the world? But when they go to war, do they die? Some of them, they die, right? So in the same way, it doesn't matter, you know, if we are not very aware of what we are supposed to carry as we go to war, we can be defeated by the enemy. And we can only be defeated. God, that's not God's intention for us to be defeated. And that's why he says that we should put on the whole armor of the Lord, and so that we can stand the wiles of the enemy. We can stand the schemes of the enemy. We talked about this, I think, in a week ago. But before we jump into the full armor of the Lord, I felt in my spirit, or rather I felt the spirit of the Lord leading me into, for us to talk about resisting the devil. You've heard that topic. You resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, what do we mean when we are talking about resisting the devil and fleeing, and that him fleeing from us? Have you in your life, you know, as you've continued to serve the Lord and as you're born again, you're rebuking the devil and it's like he is not even moving? Have you ever been in a situation whereby you feel like you are constant? And I know that's what happens to us, but sometimes, you know, sometimes you want to rebuke the devil and you feel that sense of peace that, you know, everything has been taken care of. But how many of you have been in a situation whereby you've dealt, you know, you're doing everything that is you're supposed to do? You've even praying and fasting, but it's like as soon as this one is done, it's like there's another one coming. And Winnie, praise the Lord, it's good to see you. Sister Winnie, good to see you. Give you a chance to come and greet us. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you have been in that position? It's like you're battling and you're in a warfare. And as soon as this one is done, it's like they are lining up. You know, how many of you have been in that situation? Maybe it's just me, but sometimes I've had a situation where I battled and I'm battling and I'm using all I know and I'm using the name of Jesus and I'm praying and fasting. But, you know, the thing doesn't seem to go away. And I wondered, in that instance, what normally happens? And that is what I want us to address today before we can, because this is going to be crucial. It's going to be kind of like a prerequisite to help us, even as we talk about the armor of the Lord. Amen? I'd like us to go to the book of James, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And I would like to ask my sister Purity, please, can you read for us the book of James, chapter number 4, 6 to 8? Amen? And thank you for showing us the arm. I've got another picture I found, but we'll probably check on that. We are reading the book of James, chapter number 4, 6 to 8. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, in order for us to understand what God is speaking to us about, resist the devil and he will flee from us, we have to take the whole context of the two verses that we just read there. And I'll just read even as we have just read. But he gives more grace. Praise the Lord. So who gives more grace? Who gives more grace? The Lord is the one who gives grace. Grace emanates from him. And grace is unmerited favor. Amen? When you're talking about grace, I want you to understand that you're talking of unmerited favor. Things that we never deserved. He gives more grace. Praise the Lord. And therefore, he says, God resists the who? He resists the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. And he says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It is very, very important for us to understand sometimes, the reason why we might be engaged in a warfare and things are not happening is because we are not doing everything right. If we can do everything as the Lord requires us to do, or if when God looks at us, and he is telling us to resist the devil and that we have followed the instructions in the word of the Lord, everything is supposed to work out the way it's supposed to work out. Because I believe God is not a liar. When he says that resist the devil and he will flee from you, he will certainly do that. But there are conditions for the devil to flee from us. Praise the Lord. Number one is good to, for us. It's very important for us to understand what we just talked about, that he is the one who gives grace to everybody. He pours it out. He has poured out the grace. And the grace of the Lord, actually in the book of Titus, somewhere in the book of Titus, the Bible says that the grace of the Lord teaches you to say no to unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. I remember reading that scripture a long, long time ago. And every time it has helped me, that the grace of the Lord is a teacher as well. It is an instructor. The grace, once you receive the unmerited favor of the Lord, once you know what God has done and you didn't merit it, that concept, the grace that you receive, teaches you to say no to ungodliness. But look at what the Bible is telling us here. It is telling us that that God resists the proud. Amen? He resists the proud. So if there is pride in your life, if there is anything that is anti-him in your life, he will resist it. Praise the Lord. Amen? And what is resist? First of all, let's find out what resist mean. Now, resist is derived from a Greek word which they call anthistemi, and this means taking a complete stand against something. Taking a complete stand against something. Can you say that with me? Taking a complete stand. For example, if you're coming to God, and you want to worship him, or if we want to resist the devil, there is no way the devil is going to flee if there is things that he can identify with in your life. Amen. It is just like, how can you bind the strong man? How can you say, devil, I bind you, and deep inside of you, there are things that he can look in that corner and he can find. How are you binding you, and how are you binding me? And I can see some traces of things that are connected with me in my life. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? So we might be lost in a quagmire whereby we might be resisting the devil, and God is also resisting some parts of us because of things that are connected to the enemy. Are you listening to me? I'll try to explain it so that you can understand the way I understand it, the way the Holy Spirit laid it out on me. Okay, after checking out the word resist, let us see what pride means. Now, there are two meanings of pride. I can be talking of, if I'm looking at your life and you're following your pursuits and, you're kind of satisfied with what you're doing. And, the Lord told you to go to school and you're going to school and you're performing it. Or the Lord gave you a business and you're doing well. And you know what, you're serving the Lord and everything is just working and connecting with each other. I can look at you and I say, I'm very proud of what God is doing in your life. Amen. So, but there's another pride also that is different from, there's a negative pride and a positive pride. Pride, right? You can be proud of your children when they're performing well in school, right? You can be proud of your children when they're obeying you. You can be proud of anybody, when they're doing good and they're being satisfied in what they're trying to accomplish. But there's also the other pride that is the negative, that the enemy, that the God resists. And this is what he says. This is what he says. Pride is an inwardly directed emotion that carries an inflated sense of one's personal status or accomplishments. Do you hear that? It is an inwardly directed emotion that carries an inflated, somebody say inflated, inflated sense of one's personal status of accomplishment. It is, in other words, what it's saying is, it is this idea of like, oh, you know what? I am the one who has done this. You know? I am the one who has accomplished this. Haven't you seen the things that I've been able to do by my own self? It is that inflated inwardly emotion that inflates your status of accomplishment. In other words, it dilutes God's involvement in your life. And that is what we call pride. Amen? So it is, can pride infiltrate in anybody? Can the devil just smear and kind of push things into your life that will cause you to be proud? Right? As we, as born-again Christians, be proud in the wrong way? Have you ever seen people who when you meet with them, they have an aura of thinking that they are the only ones, they will not even let you speak.
Have you been with people who in a conversation like that? When they talk about this, they're the one who know. When they talk about the other, they're the one who know. When you talk of accomplishment, they try to belittle you and they try to make you feel like you have not done anything. Have you ever been with people like that? Pride. And it is very, very easy to acquire this, to have pride flowing in you. But God is the one who says, I resist the... Come on, say if you mean it. God resists the... So, when God says that resist the enemy and he will flee from you, if I'm insensitive, even as a child of God, and I've allowed pride to flow within my life, whereby I see people as nobodies and I see people as, you know, like as nothing, and I think that everything that I've accomplished is by my own strength, and I am coming to resist the devil and I'm binding the enemy, he will look at me and say, okay, I understand what you're doing, but deep inside, in that corner, deep inside your heart, I see pride. How can you resist me? And I see some things that are connected to me. And that's why it's very, very important. Every time we engage in spiritual warfare, we need to go before the Lord and repent. Ask God, God, please. I ask you, Lord Father, scan through my life, Lord. If there be anything, Lord, that might hinder me, might obstruct your presence from me, Lord, remove it. And God is faithful and he is just and he's gonna forgive you. Amen. There are examples in the Bible that we can look for people who are proud in their lives. Do you remember King Nebuchadnezzar? If you read the book of Daniel, chapter number 4, verses 10. The Bible says, and you can put it up there, Sister Lorraine. Daniel chapter 4, number 10. This is what the Bible says. is that the right one? Hold on. No, 4:30. I'm sorry, 4:30. Daniel 4:30. Now, the king spake and said, is this not this great Babylon which I have built for my royal dwelling place, by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty. How many mice do you see there? How many mice do you see there? The king spake and said, is this not the great room which I, every time everything surrounds about, I have done this. I am the one who has accomplished this. It is for my, every time there is an I, be aware, because there might be a spirit of pride flowing through you, which I have built for the royal dwelling place by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty. Do you see anything that gives glory to God in any part of that subject? And you know what happened after those words? The Lord withdrew his identity from him. The Bible says that immediately he was converted, he became like an animal. And he crawled in the face of the earth for how many years? 7 years. The Bible says that his body grew feathers. He ate grass like an animal. God wants us to give him glory in all that we do. And the Bible says, where we just read in the book of James, chapter number 4, 6 to 8. Notice what he says. He says, therefore, submit to, there's no way where we can submit to God if we do not have any humility. How are we going to submit to God if we do not have humility in our hearts? And he says, God resists the proud and he lifts up the humble. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Now, there was also another king. His name was the King Ahab. And you can check that in the 1 Kings chapter number 22, verse 17 to 23. 1 Kings chapter number 22:17-23. Now this is what exactly happened, and you know you can read there, but I just want to just speak about it, you know, what happened. Now this was King Ahab, and he was Jezebel's husband, and he was a mighty warrior who posted many victories. And one time, you know, there was a prophet of God called Micaiah, and he comes to the king and tells him, if you go to war at this particular time, you're gonna be killed, right? That's what he told him. If you go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, you're going to be killed. You know what this guy did, this king? He disrespected the man of God, Prophet Micaiah. And actually, he went way ahead, got hold of him and arrested him, put him to prison. And he said, what are you trying to say? All these victories that I've, let me tell you, the fact that, let me tell you this, the fact that you have consistently experienced victories, it doesn't guarantee you that tomorrow you'll have victory. Let me repeat that again for some of us who didn't get it. The fact that we have victories today, tomorrow, the other day doesn't guarantee that you have victory tomorrow. It is God who ordains victory in our lives. Come on, somebody say amen. It is God who orchestrates schemes for us to be prosperous. It is God who empowers us to be wealthy. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you, God is not, I would really not want to be in a position for you to feel that God saved you so that you can win the spiritual warfare. God never created you, or God never saved you so that you can win the battle of the enemy, right? He never saved you so that you can win the battles of the devil. No, God, the number one priority why God saved us is that we may have a relationship with him. Are we together? God saved you and me with an intention of having a relationship with him and dwelling with him all days of our lives. That is the primary reason why God saved us. But the fact that we were born again, he knew that there would be an enemy who would come to fight us, and that's why we are reading about how we can combat the enemy. Are you listening to me? And so God says, submit to me, humble yourselves unto me. I want you to understand that if I have provided more grace, that if things happen in your life, if there's pride that flows in your life, I've poured out my grace and in an unlimited measure, and you can appropriate it. If you ask me, I can forgive you, I can cleanse you, and you can submit to me, and you can resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what he is saying in this word. Amen? And so Micaiah comes to King Ahab and tells him, hey, you know, the Lord has spoken to me. Do not go to battle, because once you go there, you're going to be killed. And he was so proud not even to listen to the prophet of God. He put him in prison. Amen? And definitely when he went to Ramoth Gilead, what happened to him? You know what happened? Huh? He was killed. Just because he was proud enough even to listen to the voice of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the book of Proverbs, chapter number 16, verse number 18, this is what the Bible says. Pride precedes a disaster. Somebody say that. Pride precedes a disaster. Is that Sister Fine only who I had my voice saying that? Okay, thank you. Can we all say, pride precedes a disaster? There's something when you say, let me tell you, when you proclaim the word of the Lord, the devil sees that word and it's like fire. If there's pride, and if there's pride in your family or in your heart, it just zooms out. Amen? So don't be disobedient when I tell you to say something. Amen? It is good. Hallelujah. Pride precedes a disaster. Okay, I didn't want you to say that, but it's okay. And this is also what the Bible says. An arrogant altitude precedes a fall. Now, do you want to see somebody who is just about to fall? Do you want to see somebody who is just about to really be on a very bad fall? Look at their attitude. Look at the spirit that operates in them. Look at the way, if there is pride in them, if they do not repent, that's what comes before. If you pull up your antennas and you see somebody who is proud enough, Brother Tony, you know, you know what is coming to them, actually. And you need to start praying for them that God may deliver them out of pride, because sooner or later, they're going to be falling down. Have you ever seen people who are so prideful? You know, you talk to them, man, and you feel like, you know, they make you feel like zero. Or there are some spiritual ninjas. You know, there are people who are spiritual ninjas. They think that they know everything. I've been in churches, you know, let me tell you, man. You try even to give a testimony, and or you just even try to speak about the word of God, and they neutralize you like you don't know the Bible. You know? Spiritual ninjas, you know? Let me tell you a story. And by the way, I'm saying this in a very good way. And Lord, if I'm saying this in a wrongful way, Please forgive me. And I think, oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a man who came up here. Was, you know the way you introduced, and I think I've given you this story before. I never forgot about this. And this guy, I've never even met him. He said, oh, Pastor, you know, I have a friend of mine who is a bishop, actually, a very senior bishop in Kenya. And he has come just to visit. And, you know, he doesn't really have time for the Kenyan churches, you know. But if you can give him, you know, an opportunity to come and preach, I think because today he was not engaged, you know, he can come and, you know, speak. And I told this guy, you know, we normally have a, you know, protocol, you know, we have things set up. So I'll be preaching today and, you know, I was in the middle of a series. So if he would love to come and, you know, sit down and, you know, he can be ministered to, that would be a wonderful thing. And so he said, okay, I'm going to talk to him and he's going to call you and, you know, so that you can even get to know him. So I was connected to him and I'm talking with this bishop who I've never seen. And I tell them, oh, I really wanted to come and bless your people. In my heart, I said, I think they are blessed. But, you know, they are blessed. But, I mean, you can come. You can come. I'll be ministering to the Lord. So can you come and you know, sit and you listen? Oh, and you know what he said? Actually, this is what he told me. He told me, I hope you're not going to be intimidated by the presence of a bishop, you preaching before him. So I said, wait a minute. I've never even seen you. We've never even met you. I never know even how you preach. I don't even know. You never don't even know how I minister. And in my heart, you know, I say I felt a spirit of pride. Let me tell you, titles will not take us anywhere. People have given themselves titles. You heard even the other day the minister telling us there are so many bishops today in Kenya than almost like in more than any other country. Anybody who is coming up now, he wants to be a bishop. He wants to be a right reverend bishop. He wants to be ordained to be, you know, a right left or, you know, the most right. Have you ever, even people call them the most right. I've heard people who call them the most right reverend bishop. The ark. They even call the ark. You know, they have even moved from the now. They are the ark. You know, they have the ark. You know, the ark. The most ark, right ark bishop. If titles would take us to heaven, let me tell you, many people in Kenya will go to heaven. But you know what? Call me brother. I don't want even to be called. You know, if pastor, if being be called a pastor will make me feel so exalted and feel myself proud and feel like, oh, yes, I'm the pastor of this church. What is that? I just want to be a brother. Your brother. You're my sister. You're my brother. God says, if you'd like the devil to be defeated, humble yourself. Let me tell you, in order for us to defeat the enemy, we need more grace. Somebody say, more grace. Anybody who is willing and ready to be engaged in spiritual warfare, know that for sure that without the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, because when you are ready to engage with the forces of the enemy, they are not just mere forces that are, you know, that are there, you know, just waiting to be defeated. No. The Bible says that we war against authorities, we war against rulers, we war against evil powers. When God says that they are powers, know that they are powers. And there's no way you can come. Let me tell you guys, I believe just like the way you believe. Huh? Let me use this. Where's the other blue microphone? So I can come to you. Listen, guys. I believe like you. In the name of Jesus, right? I believe that when you come against the powers of the devil in the name of Jesus, they tremble. But have not the word of God really to tell us that many will come to the Lord and will tell him, I cast out demons in your name. And he will say, depart from me, you evil workers of iniquities, right? So that tells me that the name of Jesus is strong as it is. It's not just enough for us to, God is interested with a relationship. If we are to have a perpetual winning game with the enemy, God, we have to seek a relationship with God. I wish I can explain it even much, much deeper. Amen? We have to have, now listen, in the book of Acts, go with me in the book of Acts, or you can go with us with Lorraine, Acts 19, chapter 13 to 14. Acts chapter 19, 13 to 14. Then some of the itinerant, in other words, people who are moving from one place to another, some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, are not even godly people. They are people who have practiced they have this ability to exhaust or to remove demons from people. Attempted to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I command you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." I command you to come out by the name of Jesus who Paul. Now, does that sound to you like that person had a relationship with Jesus? Because Paul was sold out to the Lord. And actually, if you read the preceding verses, the Bible says that they brought aprons to him. They brought handkerchiefs to him. There was godly virtue from Paul that flew out that when they brought handkerchiefs and laid them to the sick people, they got healed. Paul had a relationship with God. Amen? And that is what God wants us to have. God wants us to have fellowship with him. Now, read what happens now. This will trouble you. God was performing extraordinary miracles by Paul. Yeah, thank you. Keep it on there, Sister Lorraine. Thank you. Can you put it back where we were? Paul was performing. Thank you. So that even face clothes of work aprons that had touched his skin were brought to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Let's continue. Then some of the itinerant Jews, we already read that, saying, "I command you." Okay. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. They saw what these exorcists were doing, and they said, "Oh, if Paul can really cast out demons in the name of this Jesus, why can't we?" Right? Now listen to what happened. The evil spirits answered them, "Jesus, I know. And Paul, I also recognize. But who are you?" Okay, and then what happened? Then the man who had the evil spirits leaped on them and overpowered them all and prevailed against them, so that they ran out of that house naked and wounded. Can you see the picture? There is a danger for us knowing about God. God does not want us to know about him. He wants us to know him, to have an experience with him. In order for us to have a continuous and successful victory in our lives as children of God, God is seeking us. God is seeking for a fellowship between us and him. Amen. And he's saying, draw near to me, and I will draw near to. That is what he says in the book of James chapter 4. When in the ending, he says this: draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So the opposite must be true, right? If you don't draw near to God, do you think he will draw near to you? Hello? I mean, by induction, you know, there's something we used to call in science by, you know, proving something by induction. If you can draw near to God, he will draw near to. So it means, therefore, if you don't draw near to God, will he draw near to you? So the secret of winning and having perpetual winning, it is the grace. The grace is when you know what the grace of God has done to us, and you know what? We are all weak human beings. The Bible says that we are all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I will not be surprised if any one of you is moving, is under the influence of pride. But you know what? When you perpetually allow it to rule over your life, it is wrong, because you have failed to recognize that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is available. And when you call upon God, he can come and cleanse you out of the spirit of pride. And now you can draw close to God. When God looks at you, he can look at everything, scan your life, and he say, "Oh, I smell my presence in this person. I smell my presence in my daughter. I smell my presence in my son." And therefore, he is trying to draw near me, and I have no otherwise, because I've spoken it in my word that when they draw close to me, I will draw close to them. But if there be some things in our lives, are you listening to me? If there be them some things like the spirit of pride flowing through us, when God comes and he smells, "Oh no, that smells like some spirit of the devil somewhere," he is going to resist it. Now, we have to be careful, because we might be thinking we are resisting the devil, and unawares, because the enemy, that's what he would want, So that when we are drawing close to God, God looks at that spirit of pride that is unrepented and he keeps away from you. So rule number one, and might be the only number that I'm giving you, before you engage in spiritual warfare, make sure that you have taken care of the sins and the things that might be in your life. Amen? By using and appropriating the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it is available. When the grace comes, let me tell you, when the grace comes, it's like a cleansing agent. I see it like a tide, you know, the tide detergent. It comes and permeates into every corner of your life. The grace tells you, oh no, you cannot allow pride to dwell in this corner, because this temple, this house is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So get rid of it. And I'm here to help you appropriate and get rid of it so that you can be able to approach God. And when you approach God, when you resist the enemy, when he comes to you and you resist him, he will scan also through your life and see there is nothing that he can get connected to. And he has, the only alternative will be for him to flee. Are we all together? Amen. Very, very important. We will win this battle by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are people, even in the Bible, who resisted the devil. We've read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What happened? Everything that they are presented by the king, first of all, they are presented by the delicacies, the choice foods of the king. And they say, we cannot defile our bodies. And you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Daniel tells Ashpenaz, who is the chief priest the chief senior officer of the state house in that day. They tell him, oh, just give us cabbage and water for 10 days. Because we do not want to defile ourselves. And a certain place also they come whereby King Nebuchadnezzar lifts up an image that requires everybody to worship him. And anybody who refuses to worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set, what was supposed to be done to them? They were supposed to be killed by being thrown into the fiery furnace, right? But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you know what? We cannot bow to you. We cannot bow to your golden image. And even if you want to, we know that our God, oh, I love this young man. We know that our God is able to deliver us. But even if he is not, will not come to deliver us, we will not bow. Can we get to that point whereby we can say, regardless of what happens in my life, when God looks at my life, I will be blameless. Do you know it is possible? If Jesus did it, we can do it. May the Lord help us so that we can appropriate the grace. Amen? Hallelujah. It is possible. And they said, we are not going to bow to your golden image. Even if God does not come and to deliver us, we cannot bow to the golden image. There are people who have done it before us. And if they have done it, I believe that we can also be able to do it. Amen? The last story that I want us to look at is found in the book of Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 14. This is about the publican and the Pharisee. Amen? Luke chapter 18, verse number 9 to 14. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 15. And Jesus speaking, he said, and he spake also this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and set all others at naught. You know what I was telling you, that there are people who are spiritual ninjas who think that they have it all together. Now, two men went up into the temple to pray. Okay, there were two men, okay? They went up into the temple to do what? I need to hear you. They went to do what? Just like we all come to pray here sometimes and come and have fellowship, okay? The one of them was a Pharisee and the other one was a publican, okay? So one of them was a Pharisee and the other one was a publican. The Pharisee took his stand and he was praying. He was just secluded like in a corner and he was praying like this. This is now Jesus speaking this parable. And he's saying, this guy prayed like this. Oh God, I thank you that I am not like the other people. Have you heard of people praying like that? By the way, have you ever heard, especially these old people, they want to pray with the thous and the thines And they make you feel like, you know, they're the ones who are there. You know, thou, O God Almighty. You know, they even make you tremble. What happened to simplicity of prayer? Like talking to God, you know? You know, prayer is just like talking to God, she said, Elizabeth. Simple as talking to God. Like the way we find and we chat. Do you know you can be in prayer and you're laughing with God? You think of something funny and you're laughing. Do you think that is, you know, it is not off. You can tell God, you're so humorous. How you really rescued me from that accident, I don't even know. And you find yourself just laughing. How, God, you've connected even this favor. I don't see anything, Julius. You know, God can come even in the little things, by the way. You know, there are some little things that the Lord does to you, and you know for sure this is God. Amen? That you, like, you need a miracle. You need, like, a miracle real fast, you know? Like, real fast. Like, a police is following you, yeah? And you know you have not registered your car. Like, you need God. God, blind them. Have you ever prayed like that? I've prayed like that. God, blind them. I have forgotten to register this car. And here is the cop behind me. God, help them. Help me, please. And the police, just immediately, an accident happened somewhere or an incident. And when you are thinking that he was going to catch you, he makes you pass. Those things you don't even testify. Because it's going to look like foolishness when you tell them, yeah? But it is God. They're orchestrated from the heavens. God hears you. He has poured your grace to forgive you for not registering your car. Yeah? Can I give you another example? Now you need to go and register your car. Because if you did it in ignorance, no matter how you tell the Lord to bind this policeman behind you, he is going to actually punch on your computer. Ben Ateku, not registered. Pew, 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 pew. And when he stops you, sir, do you know why I stopped you? Oh, no, I was doing the right speed. And you know in your heart that you have not registered. I was just doing the right speed, sir. I don't know why you stopped me. Have you looked at your registration? Oh! Now, number one, you've lied because you knew. May God help us. No, it doesn't happen to Empowerment Christian Center. This is a holy church. Okay. He says, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people. Greedy and unrighteous, adulterous, or even like this tax collector who is praying on that corner. Yeah? Can you imagine? Can you focus it? Can you see it? He is in a corner right there, you know, and even he's praying with a loud voice. Mwadhani Jehovah. Niedi hara tolia. You know, hang on, you had a corner in the Mwadhani. Ona daluta ashuje. No, ni ene go to tagera baba. Holier than thou people. Hello, can you go back? I've not. Oh, is that the way where we are? Lord, I fast twice a week. I even give a tenth of everything I get. Continue. But this tax collector standing far off even from me would not even... No, this is what he says. But this tax collector, the other tax collector, standing off would not even raise his voice to even heaven. You know, in other words, he's really feeling so guilty, Lord. I'm not even worthy, Lord. I'm not even worthy, Father God, even to come before your presence, oh Father. He would not even raise his eyes to heaven. But he kept striking his chest. That's how, you know, how the old people, the Jewish people, they used to beat when they knew they had sinned. They're telling God, oh God, it's like they're beating themselves. Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me, Lord. I'm a sinner. I'm not even worthy, Lord. I'm not even worthy. I'm not even worthy, Lord. Huh? But kept on striking his chest and saying, God, turn your wrath from me. I am a sinner. Turn your wrath from me. I am a sinner. When was the last time you saw people praying like that? That is the kind of prayer God wants. Because we are all imperfect beings. Amen? Even when you think that you have it together, it is by the grace of God that he has allowed to have it together. The good job that you don't know how many millions would want to really be in your position. We were talking about complaining the other day. We complain about zero. In fact, if other people would hear you complaining over what God has in your situation, you are in the high class. If people would be classified in terms of wealth in the world, the poor, the poorest, the rich, the wealthiest, you are in the top brass. Things might not be going well for you. You might be experiencing little frustrations here. But in the morning, you have lights in your house. you have a fridge and I know there is food, and even if there's no food, you can call somebody and they can bring food to you, right? You drive in a car every single morning, and now that car that you started when you go first got it, it was very nice because you never owned a car before. Now you have seen other Lexuses just zooming around you. Now this car has become a junk and you complain every single day. You feel like you're gonna one day just, you know, start it and just in on a what do you call those high fives and just let go, you know, it flies on the overpass, just because it has been. Thank God for it. It is God who has given you. When God gives you favor, my brethren, listen to me. Let us learn to approach God with meekness and humility and tell God, why it not for you? Why it not for you, Lord Jesus? Let us be people who beat our chest. Lord, I'm a sinner. I have really been doing things that are not really weird. I sometimes have my mind coming into things that I don't even understand why they come, and I'm a child of God. Be a chest striker. You know, you're coming to God with an attitude of, Lord, I'm a sinner. And you are up there in heaven. Have mercy on me. Listen to me, church. That is a secretly well-guarded. If you know how powerful that is, God will be opening up doors for you. Because when he sees your heart of humility, when he sees your heart for wanting just to serve God, when he sees your heart that is ready to do anything that he tells you, oh God, he will see his grace and he'll be opening up. Oh, have you ever seen that child who comes, you know, and pampers you? You know, oh daddy, even when you're really hard on them because of something wrong they did, they still come and give you a hug. You know, God wants to teach us with our children. You know, you do something to a child, you know, they did something wrong, you know, and they know when they're doing something wrong, right? Like this morning, you know, my little son, Joshua, he goes into the bathroom and he's taking all the soap, you know, the lotion, the body wash lotion, and he's pumping, he's having the joy of pumping it up, and he's just going on the floor. Now, when he had the door, he came running, oh, you know, like, so he knows somebody is coming and he's doing something wrong. They know when you're doing something wrong. Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad. Now, when somebody tells you like that, how are you going to punish them? So I went and washed his hands and cleaned up everything. And the relationship continued. That's how our father is. You know, we are doing something. We know this one, what I'm doing right now, God, I know. I'm thinking this is not right. And God will bring you to a place where he will tell you, got you. What are you doing? Oh, Father. Hey, Father. Hey, Daddy. I'm so sorry for what I've done, Lord. And he's willing to forgive you. But shall we continually sin knowingly, continuously? Can the grace of the Lord be so appropriate to teach us to say no to unrighteousness? When something comes, you can say, oh, no. No, this one is, I'm not really part of this. Whatever these people are doing, I cannot do it. And you seclude yourself and go your way. And you've honored God in doing that. Now, when we approach God from that place of power, then we can resist the enemy, and he will do what? And he will flee from us. Amen? Shall we all stand on our feet? Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 10, verse number 12, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Amen? If you think that you have it all together, you're the wise one and everything is happening around you by your own power, please take note, because you may think you stand, but you can fall. Amen? Praise be to God. May the Lord help us. I just wanted to speak about resisting the devil and he will flee from us. When we resist the enemy, when he comes, because it's not an if. Every single one of us in our lifetime will be visited by demonic agents trying to sway us into their way. So when they strike in and you want to resist them, let them not find anything that they can get connected with so that they will not even flee, because you have some things in common. Let the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be that is available and readily available for us to use. Let us not just let it hang around and is not being appropriated, use it. Use it as you pray. Ask God to repent before the Lord. Ask the Lord to cleanse you. Ask the Lord, let the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I repent of this thing that is really nagging me, following me everywhere. Lord, I repent of it. Let me be like that tax collector who beats up their chest. Lord, I may not really be well. You know, Lord, I need you. I need you to show me your ways. Lord, show me your way, Lord. I don't have it all together. It might appear like I have it all together, but Lord, I still need your hand. And I might appear that I am wise and I have the knowledge and I counsel people and I tell them what to do, but Lord, I still don't have it together. Lord, I still need you. I still need your power, Lord.
When we pray prayers like that, I can almost guarantee you that every door will open on your behalf in the name of Jesus. Lift up your right hand to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you because your intention for us, Lord, is to be victorious in our lives today. Father, you want us to experience the glories of heaven here on earth, even before we go to that grand place that you're preparing for each one of us. You've given us opportunities to be prosperous in this nation. Father God, we are most privileged people than many others in the world. Because in this country, you can do your thing and you can trust God and you can run with your vision and you can be successful. Lord, even as we live in good houses, as we drive nice cars, as we even have great businesses and as we have great jobs and careers, help us to know that you're the one who has done it. That every single moment, Lord, we encounter prosperity, we encounter greatness, that in our hearts we shall know that it is you who is the author of it. Father God, I pray that at no one time in this church shall anybody feel that they did it by their own strength. Father, I pray that we shall be able to be sensitive to know the devices of the enemy. The enemy would want pride to flow through us, because when that flows through us, then he knows he got us. But even perchance that might come to us, Lord, we shall repent of it, Lord. And your grace is sufficient for us. Your mercy is readily available to cleanse us of unrighteousness in the name of Jesus. I pray for every woman. I pray for every man in this house. I pray for those that are connected to this local body, wherever they are, Lord, that they are going to give, they are going to put you at the top of their list in the name of Jesus. That our lives will give you glory. Whether we be at work, whether we be at home with our children, whether we be in this house, God, wherever we shall be, Lord, we shall honor you. Our lives, Father God, shall be a moving glory, God-giving glory, a body in the name of Jesus. Let people know that we are the sons and daughters of the kingdom wherever we are, representing the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, even for some in this house, Lord, who desperately need your presence, who desperately need an answer, Lord. They have resisted the devil and still sneering at them, Lord. I come against the strong man in the name of Jesus. Lord, I put a hedge of protection round about their families in the name of Jesus. Lord, I declare for every door that's supposed to open in the name of Jesus. Let every door that is supposed to close be closed. In the name of Jesus, that Father God, when we look at you, Father God, you not only shall be our God, but you shall be our provider. You shall be our guide, O Father, in the name of Jesus. Take us by the hand, Lord, in these evil times, Father. I pray that we shall be the light. And you've told us in your word, let the light shine. Let the light shine. Wherever we are, we shall let the light shine. And Father, when it shines, you shall be glorified in our lives. Thank you, Father. Let the zeal of this house consume each and every one of us. That we shall come to prayer meeting on Friday. That we shall go even to Bible study. That we shall read the word of the Lord. That we shall wake up in the morning, Father, to have a communion with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are grateful for what you have done so far. Lord, I speak your protection over every single one of us. In our places of work, even as we go, Lord, may you help us that those who are plotting evil against us, no plan that is being planned against any one of us will succeed. In the name of Jesus, I render powerless every plan of the enemy
that is being dispatched from the kingdom headquarters of hell towards the saints of God at Empowerment Christian Center, I declare that none of them shall thrive in the name of Jesus. Father God, let there be an open heaven. An open heaven for every single one of us in the name of Jesus. An open heaven in our careers. An open heaven in our families. An open heaven in our studies. An open heaven for those who are doing businesses. An open heaven, Lord, in everything that we set our hearts to do. In the name of Jesus, that we shall glorify you even in our activities, all to the glory and honor of your name. If there be anybody in this house who has never given their life to Jesus, I want to give you this opportunity. The Bible says in the book of Romans 10:10 that he is knocking at your door. If you'd open up your heart, he would come and dwell with you. Is there anybody like that who says, today I want to surrender my life to the Lord? Just lift up your hand right now. Is there anyone who wants to give their life to Jesus? You might be sick in your body. You might be needing a special miracle other than what we prayed for. And you want us to pray right now. Lift up your hand right now. I want to pray with you in the name of Jesus. Is there anyone? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you honor. Lead and guide us into paths of righteousness this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody who loves him, say a big amen. Amen. Brother Julius, please.